And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. I love living here. Alabama. And I mean to say, y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, I got to tell you, so before we go any further, just know this. So Right Side Radio, we are a standalone entity, all right? We are a business unto ourselves. When you hear our show, the various radio stations you may be listening to us on, those are they don't own the show. Those are stations that we send our show to. So, but like any other business, Right Side has to be able to sustain itself. And part of our revenue stream is always going to be selling ads. So if you want to advertise on Right Side because you've got goods or services and you're a Right Side ruffian and you figure the over 30,000 people or more that listen to us every single week may want some of your goods and services, well, come on. We'd love to have you on the team. But you don't call the station. What you got to do is contact us. So go to rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. Click on the advertising and contact tab, and then, yeah, just get on back to us. We would love to get you on the team. You want to advertise with Right Side Radio, just go to rightsideradio.org and send us a message. All right, hey, I'm going to number two of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling us anti-Semitism. I am absolutely just sick to death of some of what I'm seeing because I part of me questions, do people know what they're saying? Especially these young skulls full of mush that are on college campuses marching for pro-Hamas and calling Israel, you know, a apartheid state. Do they really know what they're saying? I don't know that they do. But then there are some, though, that march and they literally call for the extermination of Jews, not just the nation state of Israel, which is a Jewish state. Not just for the country or the legal entity, if you will, of Israel. They're calling for the extermination of the actual people. It's like saying, it's the difference between saying, you know, an Alabamian or Alabama, the state, versus Southerners. We're going to eliminate all Southerners. Excuse me? And so I want to spend a few minutes talking about anti-Semitism, but I want to tell you, we have got to maintain our vigilance against this because don't think for a second that if anti-Semitism is not allowed, is allowed to somehow grow without somebody gut checking it, that they're not going to then come for Christians. And oh, by the way, those of y'all that are not of the Christian persuasion, but perhaps you may even be agnostic or for that matter, you may be of a different faith. Maybe you're Buddhist or maybe you're a Muslim yourself. Listen, the reality is the minute they can begin to allow people of a certain faith to be demagogued or maybe even maligned or maybe even discriminated against, they can do it to any of them, any of them. But let's talk for a minute about anti-Semitism. I had any number of choices I could have gone to, the Jewish Holocaust Museum. I could have gone to, I had some sites that I looked at that were actually like from, you know, sponsored, I think, by the Jerusalem Post, another one, you know, by temples or Jewish Orthodox training centers. But I just chose one that was sort of benign, if you will, history.com. I went to history.com and I pulled a piece called Anti-Semitism. And it's interesting to me, they refer to this as history's oldest hatred. Think about that. History's oldest hatred. Anti-Semitism. And they point out, too, that Nazi Holocaust is history's most extreme example, but that anti-Semitism did not begin with Adolf Hitler. A lot of people think of it as, oh, since World War II. No, this goes back into the Middle Ages. It goes back into ancient times. We had everything from anti-Jewish riots, they called them pogroms, in the Russian Empire in the 19th and 20th centuries, to anti-Semitic incidents in parts of Europe and medieval Europe, and then, of course, the Middle East and North America even. It points out, too, that early Christians often vilified Judaism in a bid to gain more converts. And it's true. Unfortunately, it is true. But in medieval times, historically speaking, Jews became prominent, known to be prominent in banking and money lending. Why? Because early Christianity did not permit money lending for interest. And so Jews, their faith did not. And so guess who wound up becoming the bankers? But that resulted in economic resentment. And then you had European countries that began to just resent. And I look at this and think, why? What do you, so somebody in your society prospered and you just, you're thinking, you know, hey, we're just going to get rid of them because they prospered, because they provided a segment of your commerce, because they provided the opportunity for, I don't know, growth in the, anyway. And it points out that, yeah, they wound up being the expulsion of Jews from European countries, including places like France, Germany, Portugal, Spain during the 14th and 15th centuries. Poland, it's kind of interesting. You hear about things like the Warsaw Ghetto and things like that in World War II. Why was it such a large Jewish population there? Because at one point, Poland was the one notable exception. In 1264, apparently the Polish prince issued a decree allowing Jews to have personal, political, and religious freedoms. And so there was a large influx of Jewish community that grew in Poland. But even Poland later on, following the Russian Revolution, had these massive anti-Jew pogroms where an estimated, I think it's, where's this piece of the article? At the wake of the Russian Revolution, an estimated 1,326 pogroms, which is again an anti-Semite riot, are thought to have taken place across Ukraine alone, leaving nearly 500,000 Ukrainian Jews homeless, killing an estimated 30,000 to 70,000 people between 1918 and 1921. Same with places like Belarus and Poland, where they also killed tens of thousands of people. Then came the major situation that we all think of in modern history with the Nazis. Hitler started off just, Hitler stoked up German nationalism, racial purity, global expansion, but he did it also on the backs of the Jewish people in a jealousy and a blame for somehow the defeat in World War I, blaming it on the Jews. And then they had the Nuremberg Laws of 1935, pre-World War II, anti-Semitic laws outlining even the definition of who is considered a Jew based upon their ancestry. Can you imagine this in America? Can you imagine laws being passed saying, we have now decided to define you? We will tell you whether you are considered of a certain race or whether you are considered worthy. Well, Nazi propagandists, it says, swayed the German public into believing that Jews were a separate race. Oh. According to the Nuremberg Laws, Jews were then no longer German citizens and no longer had the right to vote. And then came Kristallnacht in 1938. The night of broken glass. In 2 days, more than 250 synagogues across the German Reich were burned. 7,000 Jewish businesses were looted. In the morning after Kristallnacht, 30,000 Jewish men were arrested and sent to concentration camps. And then anti-Semitism just grew in the Middle East. And by the way, let me point this out too. Charlene, the lovely Charlene, pointed this out to me. I did not know this. Palestine, which is, you know, the people of Gaza right now, the Palestinians, Palestine, the Grand Mufti of Palestine, met with Hitler, asking for Hitler's policies towards the Jews to be exported to the Middle East and to provide help to do so. Now, Hitler didn't give him, Hitler was very dismissive, and yet Hitler at the same time also entertained the idea because of the invitation by the Grand Mufti of the Palestinian people. I want to say that was the 1939-1940 era. So all this, I look at this and go, why? What? And I'll have to tell you, I think part of it's a spiritual context. I'm a firm believer in spiritual warfare. I believe that it's real. And I think that part of what we're looking at here is there is a demonic influence that does not mind targeting the Jewish people. I'll also say too that it just preys on weak minds. Well, we need something to blame. Who can we blame? I don't want to blame my kind of people. I don't want to blame my kind of people. I got to find another kind of a people. I got to find another kind of people to blame. Why is my life so bad? I'm gonna blame. I pick one. How about Jews? Okay. And so there's that. There's also political expediency. When they're a minority of your people, you can prey upon them easily. when they don't have a same faith-based belief system like you do, even though it may have some similarities with Christianity and it may differ from what you believe, it's just easy to go ahead and target. And then there's the question of, in the past, did the Jewish people, did they fight back? Well, there were plenty of fights throughout history. And the Jewish people, look in the biblical era, they were known to whack people pretty hard, and they could do it. But over time, as they began to get disseminated and be expelled from various countries, and there were only pockets of them here, there, and the other, they didn't have the capability to stand up if they wanted to. Now, you had some great, some amazing resistance fighters who were Jewish. I mean, there's even been movies made about the fights in the Warsaw Ghetto or the fights in the Polish forests. But that being said, by and large, the Jewish people were not a nation state that had the capacity to resist. Now they do. Now they do. And so even today, as I'm talking to you right now on your national mall, where the Washington Monument looks straight down the reflecting pond on one direction towards the Lincoln Memorial and back in the other direction towards the Capitol, we have an estimate, it depends on who you're talking to, tens of thousands, perhaps over 100,000. We'll see the estimates when it's all done. I'm looking, there it is. It's an image that's came up on the screen. An image of right now, I can see nothing but a sea of people all the way straight down the mall. And there it's a support Israel. It's called the March for Israel. So all these protests where Palestinians have been defacing monuments, putting graffiti on the walls, defacing the gates of our own White House, tearing down American flags and stomping on them, burning Israeli and American flags. Guess what? I think they just got outnumbered. And I'll tell you more about that when we get back from this break, because, folks, the anti-Semitism that we've seen, never again. We need to be anti-Semitism. That's what I'm saying. Anti-Semitism. I don't care if you're a believer or not. It's still not right. Anti-Semitism is where we need to be. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So we're on number two of the triple dipper, anti-Semitism. And let me just say, I'm gonna point out. So as we're talking about the rise of anti-Semitism, and yes, there has been quite an uptick in anti-Semitic activity. I mean, the Council on where is it? I think it's a 216% increase in recent years of what we would call anti-Semitic activity. That's significant. It's also unacceptable. But let me just take it down another road. There are good things happening. And I mentioned to you right before the break that right now, as we speak, perhaps well over 100,000 people are meeting on the mall in Washington, D.C. in what they call the March for Israel. And this rally got together fast. I mean, it's you know, sometimes these things take, you know, like months of planning and lots of coordinations and how do we make it all fit? Not this time. Think about it. When did the events happen? Right at about 4.5 weeks ago? And so in 4.5 weeks, they put together this massive rally. I think they actually put it together in about the last week and a half. But it says right now that organizers of Tuesday's event said they're not only calling for the return of hostages taken by Hamas, they want to underscore Israel's right to remain free from violence and the right of Jewish communities in North America and around the world to live free from hate. I would agree with that. A guy named Gil Prius, who's the CEO of the Jewish Federation of Greater Washington, says there's no place for such an ancient form of hate. And that's, you know, I said it earlier, that's listed as the oldest form of hate right now is anti-Semitism. Priya said the Hamas attacks on Israel should be an opportunity for peace-seeking Israelis and Palestinians to even seek an eradication of the militant group. I agree with that. Busloads of pro-Israel supporters began arriving at the Stadium Armory in D.C. well before the march got underway. Several were chartered by New York City's Temple Emanuel for D.C. More buses carried an estimated 1,250 from the Jewish Federation of Cleveland. A group from the Hebrew Academy of Miami arrived, and they're coming from all over the place. They came in all over the place. Organizers said they expect over 60,000. I'm thinking it's bigger than that. That's what I've seen. And it says that a march through the streets of Paris recently against anti-Semitism attracted over 100,000 people just this past Sunday. Good things are happening. I want to point out good things are happening. So Dennis Prager wrote a piece. How much time do I have? Good. All right. Dennis Prager wrote a piece that came out today. I found it on townhall.com. He says, I was raised by Jewish parents who believed that the best place that Jews ever lived, other than their own country in the Holy Land, was the United States of America. He says, yes, there have been individual anti-Semites in America, and yes, there have been anti-Semitic policies, and there have always been Jews who believed that American Christians were no different than Europe's, and the fact is, though, even with the aforementioned flaws, America has always been a blessing to its Jews. He said, this time that we're in presents America's non-Jews with an opportunity to do something more powerful for the Jews of America, and many would like to do so. He says, unlike the Nazi era, when helping Jews often entailed hiding a Jew and thereby risking one's life, helping Jews can be done now with little or no risk. And if many millions of Americans will do this, America and the world will be profoundly affected for the good. And he tells two stories that I think are just incredibly significant. Two stories that are examples of just standing up and saying, not on our watch. I'll see if I can get to both of them. If not, I'll take it through the break. But he says, here's one. He says, in January 1945, German forces instructed all of the Jewish POWs to report the next morning at a senior prisoner of war camp. A Master Sergeant Roddy Edmonds was a senior non-commissioned officer. He was in charge of the prisoners, which included the Jews and the non-Jews, and he ordered all of his soldiers, all of them, to stand together when the Jewish prisoners were called out to report. When the German officer in charge saw that all the camp's inmates were standing in front of their barracks, he turned to Edmonds and said, they cannot all be Jews. The response was, we are all Jews. The German officer drew his pistol and threatened Edmonds, but Edmonds stood firm, and no Jewish soldier was hurt. Another example, he says, took place in Billings, Montana in 1993. During Hanukkah, a Jew hater tossed a brick through a window that had a Hanukkah menorah in it. The home belonged to a Jewish physician and his family. Jews typically do place the Hanukkah menorah in the window for the world to see as they light the eight-day holiday. When word of what happened spread, it says the citizens of Billings bought or made replicas of menorahs, placed them in their own windows, and made a powerful representation of the showing of people of every religion, ethnicity, and race in Billings, holding up a menorah, photographed through the broken window. It says, once again, the people of Billings proved, like that day in the POW camp, what happens when you say, we are all Jews. He says, once again, a time has come for Americans, especially, but not only Christians, to announce we are all Jews. What he's saying here is this. You sit still, bad things happen. You get busy, you can change the world around you. It's not about can you change everything. It's about can you change it right there where you are. Well, it's happening. And there are clashes. And I've got this great story from Daily Wire about these American cowboys from Montana and Arkansas that decided that all the Israeli farmers who got called up because their reservists had to leave their farms, well, they just flew over there and started working the farms. I mean, it's just that's the kind of thing that has to happen. We have to be anti-Semitism. All right, listen, I'll take text messages, and if you want to call in, you're welcome to it, 833-687-4448. It's 833-68-RIGHT. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Right Side Ruffians.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios for hour number three. We got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues, and like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, let me jump over here to the phones real quick because I think he held on during the whole break. That's Brian from Huntsville. Hey, man, how you doing today?
Doing well, sir. Sorry, I got my dogs in the car, just pulled in the driveway, so if you hear a few woofs,
good enough.
But anti-Semitism, too many of us, and I hate it that it's true that a lot of Christians at different points in time were anti-Jewish.
Sure.
Because my Savior, Jesus Christ, was a Jew before he died on the cross.
That's
and
right.
Afterwards.
Yep.
He's the only one that held the law.
So yeah.
I don't see how we can be against anybody on that.
No, I would agree. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate you, man. Thanks for holding on, too. Yeah, I would agree with that. Nowhere in Scripture that I'm aware of does it say that, I mean, Christ came to not to reject the law, but to fulfill the law. Nowhere does it say that the chosen people stopped being. I think that the nation of Israel has meaning to us in a spiritual sense, as well as just recognizing that in a human sense, you just don't go down this road. And yes, were Christians in the past using their own faith as a reason to justify an anti-Semitic behavior? Yeah, unfortunately they were. We're allowed to say never again. We can have a repentant attitude towards that idea and say never again. I mean, there were people who professed Christianity who kept slaves. We can say never again. So when you see it coming, the fact that someone did it in the past does not justify going to it in the future. I got a ton of text messages, and I'm going to take those before I wind this thing up. Some of them may date back to previous segments, so let's see what we got here. Boyd from Joppa, okay, again, is telling me the YouTube videos of the Megyn Kelly interview Trump had about 2 months ago. Okay. Thanks, Boyd. Appreciate it. Thomas Mathens, where are we right now? Okay. Oh, he's on that thing about schools, the state education budget needs to be the one that receives the benefit of gambling money. He says, make the bill a twofer. Bill must enable school choice and fund it. Integrate school choice, plus it's fun. I'm going to tell you right now, do not do that, though. But, Thomas, when you get into these omnibus link it all together kind of bills, you're really not getting pure legislation. Pass school choice if you want it. Pass gambling if you think you can do it. And then, you know, do things, but don't couple them together, because at that point what you've done is you've corrupted the process and you're trying to weigh on people's sympathies in one thing to get the other thing that you really want. So anyway, Thomas, I get where you're going, but thanks very much. I don't agree. Crazy Joe from Decatur, don't forget Haman's anti-Semitism in the Book of Esther. Yes, it's true. She was there for such a time as this. Joe from Birmingham, when the vast majority can name 10 beers, but can't list the 10 commandments. Go figure. Well,
name 10 beers.
Boomer's laughing. JT Lacey Springs, anti-Semitism. Catholic crusades were notorious. I'm not disagreeing, but again, I think that we need to make sure that we recognize never again can apply to us. Chuck from Oneida, Tennessee, says, from the sea to the river, Hamas will be chopped liver. Just saying. Oh, wow. He just made his own. From the sea to the river, Hamas will be chopped liver. Well played, sir. Somebody who, let's see, do we have a name for this person? I got a very long text. Then I'm not sure where we're going here. And thank you very much. By the way, your text is way too long for me to read it, but I appreciate it. Citing passages from Revelation and giving me some historical context, I believe, for anti-Semitism, but it's far too much for me to read in a text. You got to be more concise. But thanks, and tell us who you are and where you're from. Raven from Russellville says, as Christians, are we not adopted Jews? Christ died for Jews and Gentiles alike. That should tell us something. Raven, well played, man. All right, listen. If you want to weigh in on that, you're welcome to it. I am looking right now online to see if they have a number yet for how many they believe showed up today for the rally. Even Speaker of the House Mike Johnson was there to vow that U.S. will stand with Israel. This is not a pro-Jew per se, but a pro-Israel at the very least stance on the mall of the Capitol. Tens of thousands is what one report is saying. If anybody has a link that says this is the because what happens is the National Park Service certifies. So the National Park Service will actually certify the number they believe actually showed up. They do it with drones, and they calculate based upon the amount of space that's filled, you know, from the overhead pictures, and it's actually kind of a cool process. But if you see something out there that says, here's how much, how many people we believe are actually on the mall today, let me know. I want to remind you guys, too, that there's right now still, I believe, there are 238 hostages being held by Hamas in Gaza. 10 of them are believed to be Americans. U.S. officials are unsure how many may still be alive. We don't know. Can you imagine being held in the basement or a tunnel somewhere, being held prisoner? And they've got, by the way, they've got children, they've got elderly, they've got the defenseless, and they're holding them hostage. For what purpose? There is no purpose. They're not going to get paid ransom. What they're trying to do is use them as human shields and get leverage for what they need. And it's a crying shame, and it just needs to be fixed. Jeff from Indiana just texted in, says, the saying should be, and correctly so, from the river to the sea, no Palestinians will there be. Oh, wow, no, we're not going down that road. That's a little too much, Jeff. I can't do that. I can say no Hamas. I'm good with that. I think there are peace-loving Palestinians. Too many of them were shouting in the streets and calling for Israel's death. But I think that there are still probably some peace-loving folks in amongst the Palestinian people. So I'm not looking to wipe out a whole people, but I'm just saying, how about this? Let's wipe out Hamas and leave them with no man standing. I'm good with that. Britt from Athens says, the New Testament does, all caps, distinguish between Judaism and Christianity. Of course it does. I know that. Christ came to fulfill the law. Paul talks about that several times. Look how many times Paul preached against the old law. He didn't preach against the old law. He talked about the fulfillment of it. When the New Testament church was established on the day of Pentecost, Christianity replaced Judaism. Brett, I'm not arguing that there is a means of salvation. The way, the truth, and the life definitely comes through Jesus Christ. I believe that. It does not mean that God does not still look with favor. Where do we understand that the final days will be? Jerusalem. Where do we understand that the Antichrist will try to make his appearance? The temple. Where do we understand that the Battle of Armageddon will be? That would be the plains of Megiddo. And so, yeah, I believe that nothing in the New Testament disavows God's love for the people of Israel. I believe my faith is in Jesus Christ, but you don't have to argue me on the point. I don't think that anything about what I'm saying about anti-Semitism in any way negates my faith. Scott from Decatur said, it could be said that Jesus wrote a new covenant ending the old law. Okay. Ryan from Hazel Green says, let's just say no to violent extreme. Let me go back to that. Christ himself said he came to fulfill the law. All right. There. Ryan from Hazel Green says, let's just say no to violent extremists, no matter what the race, religion, and country. Isn't it that simple? It is. And by the way, that can be a non-faith-based issue. You can say, hey, violent extremists, we're done with you. We're just done with you. Great point, Ryan. And then Jeff from Indiana, thank you, brother. Appreciate you very much. All right. Listen, let's go ahead and take the break. I'm right at it, maybe about 30 seconds earlier than usual. We'll do it right now. We'll come right back. We're switching gears, going into the final segment. I'm going to get three dippers done. I may get three dippers done. I'm thinking, yeah. But Boomer's giving me the smile.
Yeah, you're going to get possible. Three dippers done.
I'm thinking it's true.
Absolutely.
Unless I find me a rant.
Oh, if a rant comes in.
There's plenty out there to rant about.
There is plenty.
All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.